Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, guys, for leading us in worship this morning. We really appreciate it. Happy Resurrection Day, church family. You know, something happened last night at my house that's never happened before. I've been teepeed a lot. That's happened quite a bit. I was the high school pastor here at this church years ago, and if you're the high school pastor, you're going to get teepeed quite a bit. Have my kids growing up, so that happens a lot. But last night, something happened that's never happened before. I got peeped. We got up this morning, and there were little peeps on toothpicks all over my lawn. And I just thought, that was so creative. Was really, really blessed by that. But if that's you, if that's you, I just want you to know, me and my peeps are coming to get you. Me and my peeps, we're coming. We are coming to get you. Throw these out. Okay. My name is Jason Duff. I am one of the teaching pastors at Calvary Vista. If we have never met, Pastor Rob and I do every other Sunday morning. I do our Wednesday night service. This week we're going through 1 Samuel chapter 13 through 15. If you'd like to come with us, we're going to learn about King Saul and his downfall in the nation of Israel. But this morning, we want to look at Matthew chapter 28, if you have a Bible. Would you open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28? As you're doing that, first of all, I want to thank all the Moonlight Amphitheater crew that's been working here today for putting this on. Just thank you so much. So much is going on all around you. Thank you guys for being here this Easter Sunday and supporting us and helping us. It's just been a tremendous blessing to work with you. Matthew 28, if I can bother you, why don't we stand together as we read a portion of God's word? I promise I'll let you sit for the rest of the time. Matthew chapter 28. It says, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen.'" Amen. "And he said, 'Come, see the place where the Lord lay.' And they go quickly, and they told his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. Therefore you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, 'Rejoice.' So they came and held him by his feet and worshiped him." That first Easter, you can go ahead and be seated. That first Easter, when Jesus rose from the dead, he came to his disciples and he said to them, "Rejoice, rejoice, be exceedingly glad." Have you ever thought about why, though? Why do we rejoice? Why do we take time to dress a little nicer than sometimes we normally do and gather here in the park and sing songs? Why do we rejoice? Well, I polled some of the kids on the way in to see why they thought we rejoice on Easter. I did it to see the kids' view and to check up on you parents. Let's be honest. So, you know, as I was looking at the kids as they were coming in, first of all, you know, I saw my kids. And since my kids have such a deep theological giant as a father, I said to them, why do we rejoice at Easter? And my kids, almost in unison, said, "Because today you let us eat chocolate bunnies and all the jelly beans we want." Oh, listen. I love chocolate bunnies and jelly beans as much as the next guy. I really do. By the way, when did bunnies start laying eggs? I don't understand that. People give Christians a bad time for what we believe. They say, oh, you really believe God created the world? Yes, I do. I believe that God can create the world. Pagans believe that bunnies lay eggs, chocolate eggs at that. So that's kind of confusing. But nonetheless, no, though I like chocolate bunnies and eggs, that's not why we come here to celebrate. So then I saw the Solace kids and the Cowan kids and the Tackleberry kids. And I said, so tell me, why do we rejoice? And they said, well, our parents make us dress up. I said, no, not why you're sad. Why do you rejoice? Why do you rejoice? They said, because we get to have church in the park. Amen. I like having church in the park. This is awesome. But that's not really the reason either. That's not really the reason either. And then I saw little Wes Urbina, the son of our high school pastor, one of the sons of our high school pastor. I love Jamie. I love his family. And I saw Wes. I knew Wes would answer this question correctly. I said, you tell me, how do we know or why do we rejoice? Why do we rejoice? Because Jesus rose from the dead. He said to me, here's why we rejoice. Because Jesus was dead and he rose from the grave. And I said, yes. Yeah, Wes, you got it. I said, now why does that make us rejoice? And he said, because if he sees his shadow, we have 3 more months of winter. No. No, Groundhog Jesus, that's not the reason. That is not the reason. Why do we rejoice? Why do we gather here today? Listen, I know it's warm out there. Some of you sitting on the hillside, you're in the shade. That's a good place to be. But I want to quickly go over with you a couple of things that from this moment forward, Easter can mean to you. Because I want Easter to be the most important day in your entire life. I've been praying, many of us have been praying, that this day would mean so much to you, more than chocolate bunnies and eggs and traditions, that this day would change your life. You see, what does Easter really mean? Number one, I think it can mean that we can know for certain where we're going to go when we die. We can know. This day can be so meaningful to you because you can know where you are going to spend eternity because of Easter. You see, the reality is if the Lord doesn't come back for his church, there will come a day when all of us take our last breath here on planet Earth. If the Lord doesn't come back, eventually we are all going to die. The statistics on death are amazing. 10 out of 10 people die. In fact, it reminds me of a man who had just turned 50. And no, this isn't a story about Pastor Rob, though he just turned 50. But Pastor, no, this other guy. This guy went in. And he had a checkup, and he had all these things going, because when you know you're 50, you need to do that kind of stuff. And he got the test results back, and the doctor said, I need to see you and your wife. I need to see you guys together. Well, that made the man kind of nervous. So the man and his wife showed up there at the doctor's office, and the doctor said, I actually really need to talk to you, ma'am, first, without your husband. I need to talk to you first. Well, the guy left the doctor's office. He was even more worried and upset. And the doctor said to this wife, he said, I've got some bad news. Your husband has a serious condition. And if you don't step in, he's going to die. But the good news is you can change the course of his life. You can solve this medical dilemma, but you've got to step up. You have got to remove every bit of stress from his life. You got to stop talking to him in a derogatory way. Only encouragements. I love you, honey. You're awesome, honey. You're so good looking, honey. That's how you got to talk to him. You got to make sure that when he comes home from work, there's no more responsibilities. No more work. Just let him sit on the couch, put his feet up, rub his little feeties a little bit. Let him watch the game. No chores. No honey-do list. None of that stuff. In fact, you got to get up early and prepare him a healthy breakfast every single day. Pack him a lunch. Amen. I heard that. Then Send them with a lunch little notes in there about how much you love them. Call them during the day, not to gripe at him. Call them to encourage him and tell him just how in love you are with him. Just kiss him and hold him. Relieve every bit of stress in his life. And the doctor said, "Are we clear?" And she said, "We're clear." So she left that office and she was obviously distraught and her husband was distraught. And he said to her, "What did the doctor say? What was his word? What did he say?" And that wife looked at him and said, "He said, you're going to die. You're going to die. It's the message of the world. You're going to die." Well, you say, "Happy Easter to you too. What kind of message is this?" It's a true message. We're all going to die someday. But listen, because of Easter, you can know where you are going to spend eternity. You can know that. You can know that. Now, you might say, "Well, that seems a little presumptuous. How can you say that for sure you know where you're going to spend eternity?" Listen, not because I said it, because Jesus said it. Jesus was at a funeral in John chapter 11. And he was looking there as his friend Lazarus had died. And Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters, they said, "Jesus, if you'd only been here, you could have touched him. You could have healed him. He would have been okay." And Jesus looked at them and said, "I am the resurrection and the life. I'm the resurrection and life. And if," listen to me. "If you believe in me," Jesus said, "though you may die, you shall live again." That's what Jesus said. Think about that statement. Think about it with me. That's a radical statement. Jesus says, "If you believe in me, if you believe who Jesus is, that he is God, if you believe what he did for you on the cross, he paid the price for my sin and your sin. If you believe what he said about you, that you're a sinner in need of a savior," Jesus says, "if you believe in me, though you die, though you take your last breath here on planet Earth, you shall live again." I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Well, hold on. Why should I take Jesus' word? Because he predicted his own resurrection. That's pretty cool stuff, isn't it? He said, "Tear down this temple, and 3 days later, I will rise it up again." He predicted his own death. He rose from the grave. Think about every other religious leader. Buddha, dead. Muhammad, dead. Confucius, dead. Krishna, dead. Jesus, alive. He's alive, gang. Well, listen, I know that's the tradition, and you got to say that because you're the pastor and it's Easter. But how do we really know Jesus is alive? I've been told a lot of things since I was a kid. Oh, friend, maybe you know this, maybe you don't. But you can search this on your own. You can check it out on your own. The fact that there was a man named Jesus who lived in the first century, who was killed by the Roman government, who had 12 disciples, that is a matter of historical fact. You can go check it up, just like we know Julius Caesar lived, just like we know Augustus Caesar lived, so we know Jesus lived. Men like Philo and Josephus, first century historians who weren't Christians, they weren't trying to prove that God was real. They wrote into Jewish and Roman history, there was a man named Jesus. He was put to death on a cross. He had 12 disciples, and they said, the historians say, they said he rose from the grave. Well, that's it right there. It's a they said, I said. Who really knows what really happened that first Easter Sunday? Listen. Just like we know Jesus was a historical figure, we know he had 12 disciples. We also know, as a matter of historical fact, that those 12 disciples died for what they believed in. They died a martyr's death, not a one of them recanting. They watched their families die. Why? What would drive someone to do that? I mean, we know from the Bible that when they saw Jesus die upon a cross, to them, their dreams were over. They saw Jesus that first Good Friday dying, and they thought, there goes the kingdom. There goes anything we've loved and anything we've been living for. There it goes. They went back to their old jobs. They went back to their old professions. The dream was over for the disciples. But yet each of them died a martyr's death for what they believed in. What happened? What happened is they saw something that first Easter. They saw something. You see, in history, people will die all the time for what they believe in. We see that in every culture, in every religion. People do die for what they believe in, but nobody dies for what they know is a lie. And if the disciples were covering up the resurrection, if they'd said it to save face, they wouldn't go to their own graves and watch their wives and their children go to their graves unless they saw something that Sunday that changed their lives and the lives of the world forever. They saw Jesus alive. And you can know that, friend. You can know that and know that everything he has ever said is true. Jesus not only said, if you believe in me, though you die, you shall live again. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way, and you can know this. Easter can be more than chocolate bunnies and eggs. It can more than be a warm couple of minutes in the park. You can know where you are going to spend eternity because Jesus is alive. But that's not it. That's not it. That's not it. That's not it. Just one. Well, the two more. But last one's really short. So here we go. Second one. You know what else you can know because of Easter? You can know that you have power to live this Christian life. Listen, a lot of you do know and love the Lord. But do you realize that Easter can speak so much more to you than, again, putting on some fine clothes and going to the park? Easter can mean that there is power available to live this Christian life. Because Paul says this in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, Paul makes this point. He says to you and he says to me, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. What's Paul saying? Paul is saying, as we were just talking and singing about, the same power that rose Jesus from the grave is available to raise the dead things in my life, in your life. I mean, let's be honest. This world is hard. Life is difficult. Marriages can be tough. Raising kids can be difficult. Having a difficult boss can make your life miserable. Having difficult employees can drive you crazy. And that's just our interpersonal relationships. You throw in our sins, our addictions, our struggles, our pains. Let's be honest. This world is hard to live in sometimes. In fact, listen. It's impossible apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. But good news, church, because of this day, because of Easter, you can know where you're going to spend eternity, but you can also know there is power to live this life that God intends. You see, in Ephesians chapter 5 and 6, where God gives us every interpersonal relationship and how we're to handle it. It's in those chapters that God says, husbands, love your wife like Christ loves the church. It's in those chapters where he says, wives, respect your husbands. It's in those chapters he says that kids are supposed to honor and obey their parents. You hear that, my kids, right there? You hear that? Honor and obey your parents. It's in the Bible. Anyways, and then it says parents are not supposed to provoke their children to wrath. It says how employees are supposed to operate and how bosses are supposed to operate. It gives it all there. But listen. He also says before any of those things, he says you must be filled with the Spirit. You can't be the husband God's calling you to be. You can't be the wife that God's calling you to be. You can't be the son or the daughter or the mother or the father, the employee or the boss. You can do nothing apart from Jesus Christ. And the good news again, that same power that brought life to Jesus' body can bring life to your marriage. It can bring life to your parenting. It can bring life to your work situation. It can bring life to addictions because the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave is alive and available for you and for me. This is a radical truth. A radical truth. But you've got to ask. You've got to say, as Luke 11 tells us, Father, I need you. I need you to fill me with your spirit. I can't live this life in the power of my flesh. I need you, Lord Jesus. I need you to bring life to my marriage. I need you to bring life in my kids, in my parenting. I need you, Jesus, to work at work. I need you to deal with my addictions and my shortcomings. I need you, Lord. The Lord says, I've got power for you. The very night Jesus was betrayed, he sat around a table with his disciples and he told them, I'm leaving you. And they were distraught. They were worried. But he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you believe in me also. I go to my Father's house to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, he says, I won't leave you. I won't leave you orphans. I'm going to give you my spirit. God's spirit available for you. Listen, the same spirit that changed Peter. Peter, who basically, the night also Jesus was betrayed, was a coward. A little girl walks up to the great apostle Peter and says, aren't you a disciple? And Peter says, no. No, I think you are. I think you're a disciple. And Peter, I never knew the man. What man, Peter? Who are you talking about if you don't know him? The little girl says, oh, but you are a disciple. And Jesus, and Peter says, starts cursing. He loses his mind. He's being a coward. Yet listen, same guy, 53 days later, will stand in front of a multitude of thousands, just like we have here. And he will say, Jesus, whom you crucified, has become both Lord and Christ. Repent, believe, get saved today. And thousands did. I think of the Apostle John, who him and his brother James, they're ministering there in Samaria, and the Samaritans reject them. Do you know what James and John decide to do? You Bible students know. They say, hey, Jesus, shall we call down fire from heaven and set those people on fire? Are you kidding me? Can you imagine being Jesus in that moment? Is that what you've gotten from 3.5 years of my teaching? Set people on fire? Listen, that's not culturally different. It's bad to set someone on fire today. It was bad to set them on fire in the first century. That's bad stuff. John was a hothead. He was quick to be quick-tempered. But later, John writes 1 John. And the whole book is about love. Love the Lord, love your brothers, love your sisters, love, love, love. How did a man who was ill-tempered and hot-headed turn into the apostle of love? It was the power of the Holy Spirit. And I say that to you because maybe you, like Peter, you struggle with insecurities. You struggle with fear. You struggle with standing up for what you believe in. And you think, will I ever be different? Will I always be the same? Friend, Easter can mean for you there is power for your life. That it could change you in someone with insecurities to someone who has confidence in Christ. Maybe you're someone who's hot-headed. You're quick to be flying off the handle like John was at one time. Will I always be the same? Will my family always live on walking on eggshells? Friend, Easter can mean to you the same power that rose Jesus from the dead can raise you up to new life. And can make you a man that is kind and gentle and loving. The same power can free you from addictions. Can free you from your lostness in your heart. The same spirit that rose Jesus from the grave is alive and available for you and me. You see, listen, almost done. But number one, Easter, instead of just chocolate bunnies and eggs. Number one, Easter can mean you can know where you take your last breath, where your next breath is going to be in heaven. You can know that. Not because I said it, because Jesus, who predicted his own resurrection, said it. Secondly, Easter can mean there is power available to live this Christian life. Because the same spirit that rose Jesus from the grave is available to you and me to raise up the dead things in my life and yours. So Easter can mean that we can know we're going to spend eternity. It can mean that there is power available to live this Christian life. Or listen to me. Thirdly, it can mean nothing at all. That's your choices. You can know where you're going to spend eternity. You can know there is power available to you to live this life. Or Easter can mean nothing to you. It can continue to be some traditional religious holiday where we decide to go to church a couple times a year, where we get together with family. And I love that. I love that you're here today. I love that we get together with family. As I said before, I like chocolate eggs and bunnies. Praise the Lord. But listen, listen, if that's all Easter is to you, you are missing out, friend. You are missing out. I want you to know the Jesus that I know. I want you to walk in the power that I've experienced in my own life. I've seen people in my life, I've walked with Jesus 24 years now. And I've seen people in my life who I had no hope that they were going to know and love God. They'd ever be free from their addictions. And I see them today loving God, walking with God, being used by God in amazing ways. And that can be your story too. I've seen people come into our church and they sit down, married couples, and they say, you know, if you don't fix us, tomorrow we're getting a divorce. And I've seen the power of God transform those couples into couples that love one another and care for one another. And that can be your story too. I've seen God in my own life. Me, who grew up for many years without a dad. For many years, my dad was a drug addict, in and out of prison, really had no influence upon me. I've got a stepdad now who I love. There he is. But my real father, my biological father, not a good guy. And I could have become a statistic. Like all the statistics that are out there where sin just keeps transferring to one generation. Are you tired of the sin transferring generation to generation to generation? Friend, there is power in Jesus Christ to stop that sin transfer. But for that to happen, Easter has to mean something to you. It's got to go beyond tradition. It's got to go beyond religious stuff. You've got to know that you can know where you're going to spend eternity. You've got to know there's power available to live this Christian life. You've got to know it. You've got to receive and believe in Jesus. You see, listen, listen, listen. Jesus is very, very exclusive. Very exclusive. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Not a truth, not one way to God, not one of many possible ways to get to heaven. He says, I am the only way. I know that's not a popular message in today's world, but that is the truth. There is one way to God, and it is Jesus and belief in Jesus. Jesus is very exclusive. But listen, listen, listen. He's also very inclusive. Because he wants everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It doesn't matter what sins you've been involved in. It doesn't matter how old you are, what race you are, how young you are. It doesn't matter what religions you've dabbled in. It doesn't matter if you have been agnostic or atheist or ignorant. The reality is, Jesus wants you. He calls all people, all colors, all languages, all tribes from all time. Jesus says to all, come to me, you that are thirsty, you that are heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest. Amen? Amen. You've got to come to him. You've got to come to him. So right now we're going to pray. We're going to pray. We're going to bow our heads and pray. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'm going to give you an opportunity. Maybe you've turned your back on God. You're doing your own thing and going your own way. I want to give you an opportunity to come back to Jesus Christ. We're going to pray. And if you do know and love the Lord here, you have a job right now like never before. Your job is to pray and to intercede for people sitting around you that don't, that God today would open their eyes. So let's all bow our heads and let's talk to the Lord for just a couple of minutes. Lord, we come before you today. And the reality is, we can pray, I can preach, but only you can save. And so I pray that you would save people today. Like you saved me so many years ago. I pray first, Lord, for people in this park, this amphitheater, who have never trusted their life to you. Lord, I pray today would be the day. That today would be the day that they would realize, I believe in Jesus. I need Jesus to be my Savior. I pray today would be the day. I pray for people in this amphitheater who've walked away from you. That today would be the day they would come back to you and say, Lord, I'm ready to walk with you. I'm ready to leave the path, the journey I've been on. I want to be yours anew and afresh. I want to be yours again. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you're here today and you have never received the Lord as your Lord and Savior, friend, the reality is you can't save yourself. It's not going to be that your good deeds will someday outweigh your bad. Jesus took on flesh, went to a cross for you, because that is the only way. He said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you're ready to come to the Lord through Jesus, then right now where you sit, I want you to pray to him. I want you to say to him, Lord, I believe in you. Lord, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Lord, I want you to help me turn from my sin. I repent before you. And I want, for the first time, to surrender my heart fully and completely to you. Maybe you're sitting here and you've walked away from the Lord. The Lord is calling you back home like that father of that prodigal son who just couldn't wait for his boy to get home. God can't wait for you, his son, his daughter, to come back to him. So if you're ready for that, I want you also to pray to the Lord right now. Lord, I believe in you. And I know that I need you. You pray this to him. I know that I need you. And so, Lord, I want to turn from the path that I've been on. And Lord, I want to give my life anew and afresh to you. I want to surrender my life to you. Would you be my Savior? Would you be my Lord? In Jesus' name, amen. Now listen to me. We're about to go our way, but this moment is of the utmost importance. I've noticed when studying through the Bible that when Jesus called people, he called them openly and publicly. He said to Matthew, a tax collector, come and follow me. And Matthew put away the tax books, and he was following the Lord from that day forward. To John and Peter and James, he said, put down your nets and come follow me. And those people did. You see, to me, it's not walking down an aisle and standing in front of a stage that saves you. It doesn't. But listen to me. I will never forget when I was 12 years old, sitting in the back of Calvary Costa Mesa. And Pastor Greg Laurie said to the audience, you're either for the Lord or against him. You've got to choose if you're all in or you're not. And all the things that were rattling around my head. But that night, I decided, Lord, I want to follow you. And I will never forget that moment for the rest of my life. It has been a stone of remembrance. And I know the Lord wants to do that in your life. If you've accepted him today, maybe you're ready to give your life to the Lord. Or maybe you're ready to come back to the Lord today. Then I'm going to ask you to stand for him like he stood for you. I'm going to ask you to, we're going to stand up and come out of your seat and stand right here, and we're going to pray for you. I know that's bold. I know that's like, why do I need to do that? Because again, Jesus is calling you openly and publicly. He died for you openly and publicly. And he wants you openly and publicly to say, I'm all in. I'm ready to walk with Jesus Christ, whether for the first time or anew and afresh. I am ready to walk with Jesus. So Adam and the boys are going to play. And as they're playing, if you're ready to stand for Christ, listen, this place is going to explode with applause. No one's going to look at you and go, who's the weirdo up front? Not going to happen. We're going to be excited. We're going to thank the Lord for what's going on in your life. If you're up on the hillside, I know it takes you a few minutes to get down. Listen, this is the whole reason we're baking out here in the sun. This is it. It's for you. It's for this moment. It's for this reason. So you come and we'll rejoice and we'll thank the Lord and we'll pray for you in just a moment. So if you need to give your life to the Lord, if you need to come back to the Lord, Jesus called his people publicly and openly. You come out of your seat, you stand right here in front of this stage, and we're going to pray for you in just a moment. Adam's going to play. You guys, you come. Someone's got to be first. Someone's got to be first. You be bold and watch what God does. Let's worship the Lord. You come.
Whoa, whoa, by the blood of Jesus Christ, I can enter in. By his blood and sacrifice, I am whole again. All the pieces I have torn apart, scattered all around, there is not a trace. You took it all away. I've been washed, I've been cleansed, and I've been made free. I've been bought by the blood. My King has bled for me. Sweetest victory won at Calvary. Will your love, all your love washed over me? When the stains that shape my life weigh me down again, only you can purify, restoring hope within. Every moment that I feel so far away, you're not far from me. There is no escape from the shelter of your name. I've been washed, I've been cleansed, and I've been made free. I've been bought by the blood. My King has bled for me. Sweetest victory won at Calvary. Will your love, all your love washed over me? Let it rain, let it rain, let it overtake me. Let your love flood my heart. I'm finally waking. I will never be the same as long as I remember. I've been washed, I've been cleansed, and I've been made free. I've been bought by the blood. My King has bled for me. Sweetest victory won at Calvary. Will your love, all your love washed over me? All your love. I've been washed, I've been cleansed, and I've been made free. I've been bought by the blood. My King has bled for me. Sweetest victory won at Calvary. Oh, will your love, yes, your love made me free. Yeah. Will your love, all your love washed over me, washed over me. Whoa, 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 whoa.
We're going to strain Adam's voice one more time here, because I'm going to give one more song. And here's why I'm doing this. It's not to make some kind of emotional push, but here's what I know. When I was 12 years old, sitting in the back of that sanctuary, I was one of the last kids to come down, one of the last people. And the whole time, there was a battle in my heart. Because I was thinking, I think I know the Lord. I'm not really sure. Does it really matter that I come and walk down an aisle? Can I tell you from the bottom of my heart, it changed everything in my life. Everything. I was never the same. And I know there are still some of you. I'm so thankful for those you stand up for. I've been praying for some of you. Some of you I've been praying for by name. And it's so just a blessing to see you sitting right here. But I know there's probably a few more. And so we're going to sing one more song together. And if you're sitting there and wrestling, I don't know if I should be up front. Listen, you come up front. You come. No matter what age you are. No matter what race you are. No matter what religion you've been a part of. Jesus says, you come. You come to me. And I will make you become everything you've desired to be. You come. We're going to sing one more song. And as these people keep coming, let's keep encouraging them. Let's keep it encouraging them. Like we're excited about this. Because we are. Let's sing. Let's worship. And as you need to come, you come. You come.
Met a great and humble king. I met a king whose name is love. I met a savior who calls me son. How worthy is he? I met a faithful and loving friend. Wore my shame upon the cross, who conquered death, and now I'm free. How worthy is he? How wonderful, powerful is our God? How loving, forgiving is the Son? How worthy is he? How worthy. The day will come and I'll finally see. Every wonder will be revealed. I'm so restless to see my King. How worthy is he? How wonderful, powerful is our God? How loving, forgiving is the Son? How worthy is he? How worthy? Our God, how loving, forgiving is the Son. How worthy is he? How worthy. I met a great and humble King. Someday he will call me home.
Amen. Amen. Woo! Oh, come on, church. Like Jericho just hit a home run. Come on. Let's go. Like Kester just threw a no-hitter. Let's really be excited. Some of you are surprised I know those Padre names, but I do. Okay, listen. You guys in glasses and suits that look really important and are protecting us. The Lord put something on my heart. I want you guys to come down here really quick, and I want you to lay hands on these guys. We're going to do what we always do. But the Lord put this on my heart, and I really think it's important. You guys, you're official. You don't have a suit on. Come, if you know and love Jesus, you come up and just surround these people right now. You, David, you come forward. Just come. Come surround these people. Let's surround them. Let's put our hands on them. You know and love Jesus. You put a hand on somebody. Put a hand on somebody today. Let's put a hand on them. You need to press through. Let some of these guys behind you through so they can get some of these people in the front row. Father, we come together as a church family. And we're so thankful that not only did you rise from the dead, but right now, Lord, you are raising dead things in these precious men and women. Whether it's for the first time, whether it's anew and afresh, Lord, you are making something alive in their hearts. As they cried out to you and said, Lord, I believe in you. You heard their cry. We know you did. We know you heard their simple step of faith. And we know what your word says, that if you believe in me and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. Not you might, not it's possible. You shall be saved. So I thank you, Lord, for saving these men and women. I thank you for calling some of them back to you right now. And as a church family, we just lay hands on them. And we pray that you would give them every spiritual gift they need to walk with you. This wouldn't be just an emotional Easter decision. But their lives, like my life, would be changed. That the ones that are standing here that are struggling with insecurities and fears, that Lord, you would give them confidence in who they are in Christ. Lord, those that are struggling with anger issues, Lord, you'd soften their heart. Those that are in struggles to bondage of lust, I pray you'd set them free from those things. Those that are bitter and upset, Lord, would you set them free? Those that have been hurt and harmed. Some of these people up there may have been hurt by a parent, a friend. I just pray you'd heal the hurt in their hearts and you'd set them free from those things. I pray the enemy would have no victory in the week that is ahead to steal what you've done in their hearts this morning. But I pray till they take their last breath here on planet Earth, they will never forget April 20th, 2014, when they walked to this front and said, Lord, my heart is yours. I'm standing for you. Bless them, Father. Fill them with your spirit. Again, give them everything they need to walk with you. And as a church family, we thank you for them. We thank you for each and every person that's standing up here. And Lord, we just with you, Lord, baptize them into the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you have done. There's no one like you, Jesus. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.